Okay, so anyways, I have a friend in town because we went to the Hollywood show, which is basically like it's where celebrities go to die. Is truly where it was truly what it is.
Is that what you saw at S Team?
No, S Club was
S Club, you fucking plebeian.
S Club was a 25. Though that was like people were excited to see S Club. This is like,
well, one of them did die though.
Yes, this is like Grams from Charmed.
Anyway, welcome back to This Toxic Fandom, where we ramble for approximately 87 hours about the newest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, Season 16, Episode 9?
Yeah, that sounds
episode
right.
Episode 9.
See you next Wednesday. For sum it down to a cool 90 minutes, send it straight to your ear holes. Say hi, Toxic fans.
Hi!
Yeah. Ooh, those voices are different than last week. Introduce yourself, Toxic fans.
Hey, everyone. It's me, your podcast dad, your professional hobbit, Stephen Pope. I'm very glad I'm back. I'm big shout out to Nick for editing last week's episode, and a huge shout out to Daddy Kyle X for, being a wonderful guest. Mm-hmm. And we're joined by our beautiful but morose co-host, David Gorin.
Hello. I'm David Gorin, and I am the Marsha fucking Brady of this podcast, and some days I just want to kill myself. And today is one of those days because, spoiler alert, my darling Plasma is no longer with us on the show.
Wait. Okay, why are you Marsha?
She's the Marsha fucking Brady of the podcast.
Okay, yeah, but you're not the Marsha Brady. You're like the Cindy. Maybe the Jan.
It's a reference.
Joe is the Cindy, but also it's a reference to Cruel Intentions.
Oh.
Yeah. He's Sarah Michelle Gellaring right now.
Yeah. Oh.
And I'm Reese Witherspoon, which means that I'm going to cause David's downfall and then drive away in a fancy car. I'm Joe Lee. Let's get into this episode, kids. So they're back in the workroom. What does that mirror message say, David?
It says, you know what? Not me leaving early. LMAO. Ladies just, I have no clue what the next word was. And I'm not even kidding that I paused it on two different televisions to see if I could figure it out. I have no clue what it is. So it's ladies just blank mad. C star star star, which I'm assuming is cunt.
This word has lost all meaning.
And love you all. Heart tsunami moose.
Everyone's so upset.
I think, so here's the thing. I think that there is an expendability to the first half of a cast on Drag Race.
Generally, yeah.
And that this season, with things like, I think Mirage hit people really hard because a lot of people didn't expect her to go as early as she did. Mm-hmm. But like, as upsetting as Megami was to see go home, like, it's not like people didn't expect Megami to be somebody in the first half. Tsunami is kind of at this point the first queen post Snatch Game to go home, which is just kind of like a bigger deal.
Yeah,
they've all gotten close to her. I actually appreciated playing a lot in this episode for having the wherewithal to not be like, anyway, I won and I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
Like
it was a human moment.
Like she let people come to her to be like, and congratulations. She's like, thank you. I appreciate it. I didn't expect it to happen. But also, I'm very upset because I liked Tsunami.
Tsunami, yeah.
Yeah, they did seem like we've talked about how it's, oh, we're all tight, and then there's Plain. I do think Plain and Tsunami did, click.
I think Plain is starting to grow on people. I liked Plain a lot this episode.
This was a very human episode.
She just seemed to calm down this episode.
That's a good way to put it.
The first time she felt like a good reality TV villain versus Dawn. The problem with Plain is that Dawn is already the villain and she's too good at it.
Yeah.
Dawn's a way more fun villain too because you like her.
But there's a real villain this episode and it's RuPaul. Mostly because of this mini challenge. Guys, this mini challenge is my favorite thing that's ever happened.
Really?
I loved it. I loved that RuPaul was like, I'm going to get in on the reading challenge this year. I loved all of them. I loved that it was just spit takes. I think Dawn should have won because the way she spat take was so good.
Yeah.
How about Maya not only doing a spit take, but having a mini seizure? That was hilarious. Yeah.
It was great. It reminded me a lot of my other... This is my favorite mini challenge since that time that RuPaul slapped Asia O'Hara.
I'm still waiting for that lawsuit to go through.
I will say that...
How do you think Asia O'Hara got the LA Vegas show?
Damn. This is true. I was going to say, I won't lie. One thing that I thought was amazing was when they all came out wearing... They came out wearing the raincoats, and then they still, like, zoomed in on Bryce's penis in the raincoat.
The first time we've seen Bryce in a minute?
He's been in the season.
No, he's been around.
Has he?
All right. Again, the thing is, we just see the pit crew. I think that because of COVID, they still just have fewer people on set. Yeah. So they just are less likely to keep. And because, I'm going to guess Bryce and Bruno get a raise every year. And thus, they're just kind of expensive to keep around.
Mm-hmm.
Though, I do want to point out, this is a good example of how the two pit crew members we had do Snatch Game last week, have barely been in the show. I think Laith has been in the show a total of 3 times, and I don't think the other guy has been in the show yet.
Well, yeah, I was also going to say the other issue is that it's like when they were like, oh, pit crew for the...
Spit crew.
Well, this is a spit crew, but I was going to say, oh, pit crew for the flamenco challenge. It was
just two flamenco dancers.
They weren't pit crew members. So basically, I mean, moral of the story this season is the pit crew is whomever we want them to be.
Maybe the real pit crew is the friends we made along the way.
Also, I'd like everyone to remember, Bryce can't dance.
Yes. Oh, I know. My favorite thing is when they force Bryce to do anything gay.
Yeah.
He's so bad at it. He's so cute. He's so sweet. Yeah. He's so bad at it.
Also, I love that Rue had, like, besides the Patrick Bateman raincoat... She also had the little, like, shield for her face.
Yeah.
It was... But the pit crew didn't get it.
Oh, no. Fuck them. No, they don't get anything.
We got shots of Bruno getting splashed.
Yeah.
Honestly, not the first time Bruno's had something blasted on his face.
Because he knows squirters?
Bruno's gay.
Very gay.
Oh, I was mixing him up with Bryce.
What? No. Just because they're in their underwear, they look the same to you?
Yeah, I mean, once the clothes are off and the lights are down, or in this case, the lights are fluorescent, everyone looks the same.
Damn, that was deep. I will say, this challenge...
Bryce does glow in the dark. if you crack his penis the right way, it is a bright green glow stick.
What, is that because he's Irish?
8 inches, has a birthmark, leans slightly to the left.
No, that's wrong.
That's the wrong person.
But it's because he's a rocket scientist.
Oh.
That don't impress me much.
I will say, this mini challenge, it starts off funny.
You want him to Shania Twain your gag reflex, though.
Oh, God. So it started off funny, then it got gross, then I got bored, and then it became hilarious again.
Yeah,
for me.
I loved it. I think
it's very good.
We should do this at like 16 Queens next time. This should be the first thing when they all get together is they have to do this. Why? Because it's just really dumb.
Well,
I
it's so
love
stupid. It's
I disagree because I think that what worked about this time is the fact that like minus the first one, which was the first one Plain Jane.
Yeah,
like minus the first one.
Don't worry, he read Plain later.
No, but I was going to say, minus the first one, it felt like everyone was a pretty, like, deep cut for one reason or another.
Yeah, the fact that it was, like, the winner of Miss Congeniality is Plain Jane.
I would like to say, that means production is aware that Plain is an asshole.
Well, yeah. Wait, Pope, do you think production is producing Plain as a villain and doesn't know she's the villain?
Listen, Joe,
do you think production is Scarlet Envy?
Joe. I want everyone to know that Tyra's a complete bitch. Dun, dun. Like, come on. Sometimes, like, clearly production knows what's going on, but I don't know if Rue always knows what's going on.
I think they do know what's going on. I think that Rue knew Tyra was a complete bitch. I think the point of crowning James in season 2 was that they wanted a villain to win the show.
Yeah.
I disagree. I think James was just objectively the
no,
best.
No, James
contestant.
Was fantastic, but they also wanted somebody with a... getting a drag queen who had a child biologically with a woman and
is that what makes them the villain?
But like and is like undeniably just awful to everyone, has no level of congeniality while being incredibly talented. is a much more is a compelling winner of a second season of a show.
That's fair.
Yeah. It's similar to like you give Eva the Diva the win in America's Next Top Model because you want to make it clear that you are crowning people who have very distinct personalities.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say she was the villain of her season.
Eva the Diva? No, she's never done anything wrong. What's wrong with you?
So, after a really weird showing last week, Nymphia wins the mini challenge. Hooray!
Yep.
$2,500 for you.
And also, I was kind of like, I mean, everyone was really reading Nymphia in this episode for not being in the bottom last week.
Because she did the worst.
Yeah.
So I wasn't here last week, and I didn't do a little, like, post-recording thing. So yeah. And I do not want to take up too much of our time. I thought Snatch Game was fine. I do feel like it was Saphira's, but I understand plain winning. Nymphia did something very fascinating to me, where she objectively had one of the worst Snatch Games of the episode. I don't think it's, like, classically bad. It's not Kenya Michaels' Beyonce or anything like that.
Kenya Michaels' Beyonce is iconic.
It's perfect in every way. How fucking dare you?
How dare you?
Did you just take your shit?
Yeah, and then she threw it at someone.
My Chad Michaels is getting worse by the minute. no, I was just saying, Nymphia kind of choked. I think Nymphia got... David, you've talked about how you really wish you could see inside Nymphia's, like, workflow mm-hmm. or thought process. And I feel like this was one of those times where that thought process bit her in the ass. Because yeah. I see everything she was trying to do, and it sucked. But then she had one of the most amazing runways of the season... Again, always. And yeah, I
don't think it balances out enough. Anyway, I think that it can move you up one point. I think that Morphine did significantly better. I think Morphine did too well in Snatch Game to be pushed down by having probably the second best runway of the week. We are not getting into this again. We already talked about this.
I will be giving Morphine her flowers this episode. Do not fucking worry.
Well, there's something that I'll say at the end of the episode, which I found very interesting. But when we get to the end of the episode, remind me.
But for right now, they learned that the maxi challenge this week is going to be Gothy Kendall. They're going to create neo-goth inspired looks that are Morticia meets Mugler.
Good job to the intern who wrote that line.
Yeah. It was, someone was like, they have fewer acting challenges because of the writer's strike. It's like, oh, honey, you think there's anyone union working on this show? So they're only given black, white, and gray fabrics mm-hmm. to create a neo-goth inspired look. And category is See You Next Wednesday. I
love this.
So,
Kanua? I don't think the TV show Wednesday was at any point a big enough moment in the cultural zeitgeist to theme an entire episode around. And I don't mind making the show goth and making the thing that, but everything about this episode is themed around a random show on Netflix that everyone watched and promptly forgot about.
I disagree.
Well, I disagree, but I want to hear your thoughts first, David.
I think Wednesday was definitely a moment. So, yeah, I think that, like, the truth of the matter is that Wednesday was a thing. And, like it very much – I mean, I'm wearing a freaking Wednesday t-shirt. Visual medium. like, Wednesday t-shirt that I got at Hot Topic. Like, it definitely became a thing for, like, the TikToks. And, because of the writer's strike, we haven't gotten the second season yet, but like, I think it was one of the highest charting shows on Netflix, and it just like, it's been sticking around. Like,
so the thing I'll say about Wednesday is that I think that one, it skews a little young. Like, I think that Wednesday's primary demographic was teenagers and early 20 somethings, and then kind of just a smattering of everyone watched it. And my problem is not theming an episode around the Addams Family. I think that was genius. I think the goth elements of this are genius. When it becomes also our lip sync song is a TikTok trend that is not associated with the show, but was just a song that people remixed to dance to do the Wednesday dance that happened for like 2 weeks. A year ago.
Yeah.
Like, that is not... That was...
Wait, you mean when they filmed this?
Yeah. Mm. But, like, why wasn't it just, like, My Immortal? or a spoken word lip sync to something from like the Addams Family Values. Like, there are great things you could have done that would have still fit into like this neo-goth vibe or like something like that. And I just think that it was a mistake to theme the episode so aggressively around specifically the TV show Wednesday, because I think it both dates it and causes it to lose relevancy the longer we go.
So I'm
it would be like if they did a lip sync to a Berries and Cream mashup.
Which would be horrifying.
I would love that.
But I would like to...
It's my dream.
So I haven't seen Wednesday.
I just have one really quick question. What is Berries and Cream?
Oh, remember the Berries and Cream Starburst ad?
Berries and Cream!
Somebody took that. And they started remixing it into a million songs like 3 years ago because the pandemic was wild times. But this was like everywhere on TikTok for like months.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Thanks for reminding me.
Doing Berries and Cream mashups.
I'm never going to sleep again. It haunts me.
It'd be like, berries, berries, berries.
I'm
Berries and Cream, berries, berries, berries and cream, berries.
Where's the mute button? So here's the thing. I haven't seen Wednesday. I haven't seen Wednesday. I don't really care. Joe broke David. David is just confused dog emoji right now. It's great.
The internet's not just for porn anymore, kids.
It's for berries and cream.
That is porn.
Yeah. So I haven't seen Wednesday. But I do believe Wednesday Addams, the character, is kind of a bit of an icon.
Again,
definitely a
thing. Don't mind Addams Family stuff. My problem becomes when the lip sync song is so directly entrenched in the TikTok version of Wednesday.
I mean, my thing is that I feel like the joke of see you next Wednesday is just funny.
Oh, I liked that part. Again, I think this episode, when I learned the title was see you next Wednesday, I went, the stupidest thing is going to be when the lip sync song is going to be Bloody Mary by Lady Gaga. But they would never do that because it's a terrible fucking lip sync song. And then it wasn't just that. It was literally the TikTok
the
mashup.
Whole thing, yeah.
It was the version that like someone remixed for TikTok.
I honestly think the original version would have been a worse lip sync song.
No, there was never a good version of Bloody Mary's lip sync song.
They could have done Teenage Goo Goo Muck. They could have done something by Susie Sue, which would have been 10 times better.
I can't imagine if they could have been pulled from the Addams Family musical.
Listen. We could go back to season 7 and wonder why Pearl and Miss Fame for the John Waters challenge didn't do a Divine song. Like, listen, they're going to pick what's popular.
Well, it's really simple.
The children.
Demi Lovato was there.
She's sound evoking right now.
What?
That wasn't her.
Babe.
That wasn't her.
Babe.
That wasn't
even that season.
You're right. Right.
What? Demi Lovato was not in Beastly, dude.
Fair. That was Vanessa Hudgens.
Yes.
Okay, racist. Seriously. Her, Selena Gomez, and those three to me are the same person in different wigs.
Pope, you've never felt so old than
I am.
Moment.
I don't care if I'm like the middle age between you two. I'm a dinosaur, and I need everyone to acknowledge
it. D-I-N-O-S-A, you are a dinosaur. That would have been a great lip-sync song. Imagine if that was the lip-sync song for this episode. Anyway.
No, that's going to be for the roast of RuPaul.
So, Q is so excited, because Q had a really good showing on the doll challenge and the other design challenge. Like, Q loves to make clothes,
and they
are so excited.
Q, Dawn, and Nymphia are like, we got this. Yeah. Dawn is like, I love that it's a design challenge because I know now that I'm going to be top 7.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not going home in the design.
She says that. I love that.
Honestly, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
Iconic.
But like,
I have a lot to say when it comes to the runway for a bunch of reasons.
Like, I didn't have a goth phase. Did either of you?
I had more of an emo punk phase.
Yeah, we're that age where our goth phase would have kind of been the emo phase.
My sister had a goth phase, and I didn't because my sister had one, and I was not going to copy her.
I was not going to follow
her into the dark.
I call it my pastel goth phase because my mom wouldn't let me like dye my hair or paint my room or paint my nails or any of that stuff. But I did get real, like, you know, got really into the Smiths, got really into demonology. I know how to read tarot cards. Like, I know this stuff. I had my phase.
I wish we'd gotten more color and people could have had the option to be like pastel.
Well, they gave them white. They could have dyed them.
No, I don't think they could have.
Mm. I actually think that. I also don't think that the show would have understood pastel goth.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Like, listen, Dracula doesn't understand it. There's no way in hell RuPaul will understand that.
Mm-mm. But, so you guys had, like, more. You guys have more to say about the goth phase than I will, because I'm like these queens. I have nothing to do. This is such a bad challenge for this group, because none of these queens have any ideas.
So much to say. I mean, I agree and I disagree, because I feel like some of them definitely got it.
Oh, they got it.
They got it eventually.
But like, it's one of those. I mean, I went through a phase where like all I was wearing was like sweatbands with skulls on it. And if it didn't have a skull on it, I didn't want to wear it. And, you know, like, it was a bit of a pastel goth phase, but it was more of a like moody bondage pants.
I could never fit in them.
Oh yeah. I was the thing that was fun for me was that I had a huge crush on Avril Lavigne and Kelly Osbourne, and I thought that if I dressed like them and then they saw me, they'd think I was really cool.
You are so gay. I love you.
And David, what's your gender now?
It's whatever you want it to be.
This, yeah, Joe, you're not wrong. This is a weird mix for this challenge. I don't hate it.
Like, it's one of those things where the weirdest thing about it is that none of these queens had a goth phase. Even Dawn didn't, which was surprising.
That makes
like,
no sense.
Nymphia never wears anything that dark. Like, everyone's very much
I wish she did. She looks beautiful.
Yeah. The only queen that on this season that, like, would have excelled in this challenge is Megami.
Megami, yeah.
It was one of those things where I was like,
oh. You just reminded me. I found out something really interesting about Megami. Megami did a lot of props for Dracula.
For Zavaleta, right?
Yeah, for La Zavaleta, yeah.
Yeah, that's her sister.
Oh, they are drag sisters, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I met Zavaleta while I was at a Megami show.
You know she's a school teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Wild.
Insane. Unhinged. That weird demon twang. But no, so we get into...
Stop talking about yourself
wait,
that way.
So she's walking children in nature?
They're in New York. There's no nature there.
It's Central Park.
A tree grows in Brooklyn. But no, so everyone's struggling. We have Dawn being like, Nymphia, what are your thoughts about the fact that you can't use yellow? And she's like, I hate my life. She's like, are you being inspired by the fabric? She goes, no.
She's a fucking liar.
Amazing. Yeah. No, liar. I genuinely think she was, like, a little bit stuck.
Yeah.
Like, she was literally... I believe her when she was like, I made the headpiece, and I'm going to go from there.
That, yeah. Actually, I don't think is a bad way to do it either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we have... Q seems to have an immediate idea.
Q's having a blast.
It's ugly.
We'll get there.
And then she starts shit.
And then we have Plane walks over to Plasma, and she... I actually think this was great. I think this was... both the correct amount of shade and genuinely being helpful, which she walks over to Plane and she's Plasma and she's like, so are you going to give us, let me guess, something matronly and old Hollywood? And it's like, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not. That is everything she's made and it all has been bad.
Which is kind of funny to me because I feel like she could have done like a very, oh my God, what is her name? Not Vanessa Redgrave.
Vanessa Hudgens.
No. I Married a Witch.
Oh.
Vanessa Hudgens.
God damn it, David. Now I'm going to be thinking about
Veronica
that.
Veronica Lake.
Thank you.
Like, I feel like she could have done, like, a Veronica Lake, like, I Married a Witch or a Vampyra look that would have actually worked for
Vampyra
her.
Vampyra is,
like, I don't think
polish.
She yeah. could have.
Maybe not like, with her skill set.
Like, there's a level of, like, I think that she was stuck in this position where like this isn't something she's really great at, and sewing is not her bag. She is good enough at sewing to get through one design mm-hmm. challenge and to place low on a second one.
Yeah,
like three design challenges in a season hasn't happened since season 11. It's not the most common thing on Drag Race, so I get why these girls were like struggling.
Yeah.
And then later Plasma has to talk with Dawn, who's like, well, you could, I would expect that from you. Why don't you do something unexpected?
Yeah.
Now, was that shady?
No.
No.
I don't think it was either.
I think that Dawn was actually trying to help her friend Plasma.
Yeah.
And I think that she didn't mean to leave that knife in her back. She didn't mean to. Look, sometimes you stab someone, but in like a subtle way. And then you're like, was I holding a knife? I don't remember.
But I don't even think it was
not
that.
Like other girls. I don't remember where I put my knife.
Well, it's interesting because there's been a bit of like... Dawn Plasma discourse, where apparently a lot of people have been sending hate to Dawn, being like, you sabotaged her.
Which makes no sense, because Plasma herself has been like, leave her alone, yeah. You fucking weirdos. Yeah,
but, and also, like, they're friends.
Yeah. But also, no, what I was going to say was that Plasma kind of flat out said, like, hey, if your friends aren't challenging you, you're just going to stay stagnant. My friend was trying to challenge me, and I took the challenge, and sadly, there are two outcomes to challenges. Either you succeed or you fail.
So, I really, one, Dawn did nothing wrong. I'm going to say that. And two,
I don't even think she stabbed her in the back.
I don't think so either. I was joking.
Oh, okay.
I was joking because later, when RuPaul, Plasma talks about it on the runway, Plasma jokes that Dawn stabbed her in the back. Yeah. She's like, did anyone help you? Well, other than Dawn stabbing me in the back.
Yeah.
So,
Dawn is her outer saboteur.
Finally, an outer saboteur. What a twist.
Yeah.
I was really surprised Plasma was struggling so much with this challenge. And the reason being is there are so many, like, spooky, sultry, gothy women in theater and film. I figured she could just channel one of those. Or go really weird and do, like, a what's the lady from Sweeney Todd?
Mrs. Lovett.
Yeah, like, do a sexy Mrs. Lovett. That would definitely work.
No, here's the problem, is that while there is a lot of spook in musical theater, so there's a lot of spooky, ooky, magalamooky, there's not a lot of...
Is there ding-ding-dookie?
Goth. Like, there, yeah. Like you really only have things like the Addams Family Musical to pull from, and, like, girl, that score has been pulled, if you know what I mean. That's a song in the show. That was what I meant.
Well, one thing that I was actually going to bring up later, because it has to do with a certain garment on the runway, is that there is a weird Venn diagram of goth, punk, and new romantic.
Yeah.
And there is, like, and it is a Venn diagram. However, like, I would say that even if you are pulling from Mrs. Lovett, she's not really goth. If you kind of think about it, it does fall under the like, let's say, new romantic goth aesthetic.
Yeah, but I think about, like,
you could pull a lot of Tim Burton out.
Yeah, well, no, Tim Burton is someone who arguably brought goth to the mainstream.
Oh, absolutely.
But again, it's also one of those things where it's like, for me, a pirate blouse or a pirate type garment, while it can fall under the goth aesthetic, to me is more new romantic.
I don't think the judges would really know the difference, I'll be honest.
Oh, I think so.
I think Michelle probably
Michelle and Rue, absolutely.
But also, I think something really interesting is that because this is the third design challenge, this is... So, like, first design... We're seeing every queen's third idea.
Yeah.
Now, which is really interesting. Because I feel like the first two design challenges, we got kind of, like, classic stuff. And this is the one where people started trying to get out of the box.
Yeah.
There's also that weird moment where, like, Plasma changes her idea, and then Plane's like, I think we're doing the same thing. She's like, so what are you doing? She's like, I'm not telling you. It's like, okay, then I don't know anything. Good God, girl, get out of my station.
Yeah.
Gaslight, gatekeep, get out of my station. Plane and Plasma kind of have not, I think it was the first real fight of the season, and it's not even, like, a major fight.
What?
Oh, it's not the first real fight, but.
Why are you being such a fucking cunt?
Okay, all right. I guess I never counted those as fights because for me it was just watching Amanda get out the steamroller and just chase down Plane.
But there's something interesting about the...
Amanda did nothing wrong.
I think there's something really interesting about the dynamic of Plasma and Plane, because this has been building the entire show.
Yeah.
Plasma started doing well, so Plane stopped being bitchy to her.
Mm-hmm.
But now that all of the people who aren't doing well are kind of out, Plasma's one of the easiest people to pick on, and so Plane is reverting back to that. Again, what is Plane gonna do next episode?
Go after Morphine.
Or Maya, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it's one of those things where it's like, there are these moments where she's like human and fun and cutty, and then you realize that she's like insecure and not really solid on her feet. And all of these queens are ready to clap back. And she's like, oh.
And she always punches down, which drives me fucking nuts. Like, go after Saphira. Go after Nymphia. Let's see how that goes for you. I'd love to see that.
I mean, she would never go after Safira. That's mother.
No one goes after Safira.
Speaking of Safira, Safira is really busy this episode because she has two garments to make.
Yes. Two garments to make and a plasma to take care of.
She's going full Aja in All Stars 3. She is building her competitor's dress in the workroom.
It still went better for her than Aja.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things where... like, Dave and I were talking about it, and he was like, well, she should have been disqualified for that. It's like, I don't know, BB won with a dress that someone else sewed. Like it's one of those things where I'm like, it's never been a thing on the show where you couldn't get help in the workroom.
Yeah, Sugar and Spice even talked about how Sugar was going to make the outfits.
Yeah, but I will say this, that one thing that does kind of bother me about that is the fact that, like, she was so called. Like, I mean, the thing that I wonder...
You're talking about Maya being called out.
Yeah, I'm talking about Maya being called out. But the thing that I wonder is, like, with... my question is that it's clear... This episode was crystal clear that they know what's going on in the workroom this season.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if that was the case in a lot of other seasons, because I'm wondering if maybe there was something of, like, a mystery to what was going on stage. So, like, an example of this is... From what I've heard, Heidi Klum did not know what went on in the workroom on Project Runway. So when there was like a season where one of the girls was called out for cheating, she was just like, what is the drama? Tell me the drama. I want to know the drama. So it's one of those things where a part of me goes like, if someone made, like when BB won for the garment, did they know that BB didn't make the dress until that moment? But I guess for me, the bigger thing is the fact that this is, let me put it this way. If it's the first design challenge and you're doing a design challenge and it's, you know, a one-time thing, fine, no problem. This is design challenge number 3. And she didn't, while she did do some of the work, she didn't do a lot of the work.
I mean,
it's the third time. And that's, and the fact that like.
Adore also on her third time. On the third design challenge of season 6, because season 6 also has 3 design challenges, because they have to build a wedding dress, on the third time, Bianca does a lot to help Adore.
But did she help her the first 2 times?
No.
No, and I don't
think Maya got a little bit of help the last time.
Did she?
Yeah.
She got a lot of help the last time.
She got help. And, like, it's one of those things where the thing that Safira is doing is she's helping her
pattern.
Yeah. And like, okay, that is, it's big. It's a big deal, but it's not that big a deal. This is not Project Runway, and it is about styling, and it is about all of the stuff.
Yeah.
So I just think that like, while it is frustrating to see a queen help another queen, it's also just kind of like, it's on Safira, and if she chooses not to help Maya, what would have happened? Like, it doesn't matter to me that someone got help. I still think Maya probably had the second worst look of the night. But that's just because it was a really high caliber of drag.
It was.
I'll say this. I think it's that, but it's also... Like, I'm not going to say, like... I mean, everyone knows my feelings on Plasma. I'm not going to be like, oh, she shouldn't have been in the bottom two at all. No, she should have been in the bottom two.
It was a rough one.
It was definitely a rough look. We'll get there. But I will say that my bigger issue with... the help is the fact that like she hasn't done a design challenge where she hasn't gotten an obscene amount of help, to the point that it's like you've been circling the drain, you've not been like you kind of did not do the challenge any of the times.
So my question is, what do you want from them? Because she's lip synced both times.
Yeah, she has
my issue with anyone with anything like this is I'm just like, what do you want from Maya?
I think she deserved to lip sync. Yeah. I just think that it's one of those things where, I mean, it's, I don't know. The whole thing is kind of tough because it's the truth of the matter is it's in the title. It is RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
So it is whatever RuPaul is feeling that week. Yeah. It is whatever RuPaul is in the mood for that moment. For me to go deeper is to jump 40 minutes ahead into the future of this episode. It's I have a whole tangent. It's better to just get it out when we get there.
Okay. So I am going to say, Safira, I don't see a world where Safira doesn't make top 4.
Agreed.
That world might exist. I don't want to live there. But if she doesn't, she just won Miss Congeniality.
I mean, they're currently building out their top four.
Oh, yeah.
That's why, like, people's almost like, why did Q get this win and not Nymphia? And it's like, oh, because Q needs a second win to be justifiable in top four.
Yeah. Yes.
Saphira's going to get a win next week, and then we'll have literally four people in the competition with mm-hmm. four wins, and then we'll slowly pick off the final three people, or correct. They'll do well, and they will knock someone out. Who knows? They could Cameron Michaels their way to the top.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is just how Drag Race works, babes.
Yeah.
But no, so, yeah, Saphira very clearly is helping. There is something really funny to Maya the next day in the workroom being like, I slept great.
Oh my God.
It's like, Maya, the thing that I'll say about Maya is that she's gotten so much more confident talking, and everything she says is kind of bratty and kind of shady, and I'm honestly living for it.
Same. I love this monster.
I think it's the cockiness
yeah.
that really is getting
it's
me.
It's really funny.
Like,
she kind of reminds me of Valentina, which
I
is
see
wild.
That. I
like,
see that.
She suddenly she went from being a mouse to Valentina, and I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I slept great.
I wasn't worried. I know the words to the lip sync, but I'm not gonna need it.
The next day, everyone comes in bags
haggard.
Under the eyes. Yeah. Haggard.
They
tired.
Don't need to put on makeup to look goth at yeah. this point.
And Nymphia goes full gremlin mode. Mm-hmm. She's just like, I haven't slept in 2 days. How's everyone doing? Whee!
And they're like, shut up.
And then you have Maya over here just like, oh, my skin looks so good. Oh, I feel great.
Maya's like, I did a face mask when I got home. I took a bath.
I did a bubble face bath. Mask. I magically snuck someone in to get two facials.
What do they talk about during the mirror chats this time? I forget.
Morphine identifies gender fluid.
Yeah. She, they pronouns.
Yep. She, they. Yeah. I love that for her.
Speaking of pronouns, we're recording this on the 2-year anniversary of me officially using they, them pronouns.
Yes, yay! The anniversary. What was it that you said? Anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Congratulations on giving up gender. It's stupid.
I was like, gender? I don't want to know her anymore.
Oh.
So what we find out is they asked, did anyone go through a goth phase? No one really did. Dawn and Morphine both had girlfriends in high school.
Oh, yeah. They talk a lot about dating in high school. And I was like, this is fine.
I liked it. And then Plasma talks about how this was kind of sad backstory.
Plasma finally tells her sad backstory.
Which is basically that she is from very rural North Texas. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a gay to throw a stone at.
Well, she was the gay getting thrown at her.
Correct. Yeah, correct. Yeah. And so she's never really had like a real relationship. She's never really done much.
She struggles feeling attractive, which I doubt is true now that the entire internet is obsessed with her.
Agree.
And by entire internet, I do mean David.
Actually, my middle name is Entire Internet.
Oh. You remember that joke in Fairly Odd Parents where he says, I inherited the internet? That's David's future.
That's my future, yeah.
I love that.
If I inherited the internet, the world would be a much better place.
I will say, as the mark of the table, I related a lot to.
Is that a Rent reference?
Oh God, no, God,
like he's an easy mark.
Yeah, I'm an easy mark. Remember, everyone, you have to change the song this year.
The Rusical was 2 years ago.
Oh my god,
2 weeks ago.
So, as the easy mark here, I really related to Plasma in this moment because I came out later as well, and I do struggle feeling attractive, and I did grow up and I grew up in rural Northern California where like there were two other gay kids and they were, you know, really femme and cunty and yas, and I was just this chubby thing who was like, I can't be like this, I'm not this, so.
I hate being in Love, Simon right now.
Fuck bitch, off bitch, fuck all the way off
bitch. You grew up in Sacramento.
Outside Sacramento.
Okay, dude. Fine.
Like, if I grew up in Sacramento, it wouldn't have been much better because it's Sacramento. Wow, I just spied.
I mean, it has Sac in the name. That must be pretty good.
Wait, were you in Stockton?
I wasn't far.
Oh, Jesus. I've been to Stockton.
Yeah, we don't go there for a reason. So yeah, I like plasma. I like having plasma in my body. It's very good to have.
Yes.
I'll have
and
plasma.
David wants plasma in their body.
I was going to say, I'll have plasma in my body any day.
I was going to say, I want to be in plasma's body.
Anyway.
Anyway, so it was a sweet moment. It was a sweet message. And like I said, Nymphia is not here today. All right. I don't know where she is. I don't know what she's on. I want some.
Look, she's so far away from Yellow that it's sapping her of all life.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good.
But, do we have anything else to say, or
no? I think that's kind of it.
I think we have to talk about something we never talk about, and that's RuPaul's look.
I forgot about it.
Oh, she looked gorgeous.
Why wasn't it black?
Because RuPaul doesn't do the theme.
Only when she wants to.
RuPaul hasn't done the theme since that one time her and Princess wore the same outfit in season 4.
that did happen.
But like, has never dresses in theme. Here's the thing. I think the most interesting thing about this season is watching the guest judges contend with a writer's strike.
Yes.
Because, or with a writer and SAG strike, because they cannot promote the thing that they were hired to be there for, mm-hmm. but they're still contractually obligated to be there because they were supposed to be on a press tour, and this doesn't technically constitute press.
But I kind of disagree with that because Kaia Gerber's a model.
Who the fuck?
But Kaia Gerber's there because she's promoting bottoms.
Who the fuck is Kaia Gerber?
She was in bottoms. And she's a fashion model.
Kaia Gerber is the daughter of Cindy Crawford.
She's a Gerber baby.
And she's the heiress to Gerber.
Are you fucking kidding me right
now?
No,
I'm dead serious.
I was sitting there watching this with Curtis, and Curtis literally turned to me and asked, is she like Army Hammer but with Gerber? And I was like, that can't be it.
Yeah. No, yeah, her mom is Cindy Crawford.
No.
Yeah.
No. And she's a high fashion model.
She's
and
a
she
high
was
fashion
great
model.
Great in bottoms.
She was fine. She's not a very good actress.
She's going to be
rich. She didn't need to be a good actress.
Yeah.
She's going to be so rich.
Yeah, and she's dating Austin Butler.
Oh, that's sad.
Mm. Why is that sad?
She could do better.
Have you heard what Austin Butler sounds like when he talks?
Elvis?
He now sounds like a weird Elvis hybrid. He sounds so weird.
He's like the Animorphs, but he goes from being an actor to Elvis.
It's a cover. It's Austin Butler's face into Elvis's face.
But wait, I have a question.
But it has his voice, but it's like squiggles to show the voice, and it slowly changes to Elvis' voice.
This is very important, though. This is very, very important. Are we talking like early Elvis?
I'm talking died on the toilet Elvis.
Okay, so we're talking like at the end of his life, round-faced, white jumpsuit, sweat dripping down his face at the Continental in Vegas.
Yes.
Perfect.
All right, I'm glad we have that out of the way.
Yes.
Because now we have to...
Important things.
Bring
Very
it
important.
To the...
Runway? Runway. Runway.
Runway?
To quote the Gauss, bring it to the runway.
That's more emo. So, first, and I am so excited, like, I don't think you two understand, like, this is my musical because we have found my two favorite things, a dark aesthetic and a fashion challenge.
So,
I am having so much fun.
I love this challenge.
First up, we have Plain Jane.
So, I don't love this.
No.
I don't think it's bad. I really don't think it's bad. I love the straps. I think the straps do all the heavy lifting here. Mm-hmm. But... So what Plain Jane made was kind of like a bolero crop top sort of deal and a corset with a panty. And then the worst boots I've ever seen in my life.
My problem with this outfit is really simple.
It's that
Plain has done something really similar in all three design challenges. Just in general, it's just a lot of body. It's not a lot of fabric. It's mm-hmm. a lot of intricate detail with very little actual work put into it. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at this one, it's also like... So we talked about this with Kylix last week. Black looks look generally bad on the runway because they just flatten out on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these looks had extravagant pieces and layering that really helped with that. Mm-hmm. This one looks so bad on TV.
It's not even that. It's the fact that it's like – my biggest problem with this runway is that so many things were not the prompt. They were just black. So this is not goth to me. This is S&M.
It is absolutely S&M.
It reminds me a little bit of those girls you went to high school with who would be wearing fetish gear and pretending it's goth. Again, I don't dislike this look. What I will say is that if you were going to push someone arbitrarily to low, this is the third worst look of the night.
I agree.
Which is not saying much. This was a fantastic design challenge. It and really, plasma. Really was.
I will say this. Fetish gear is more punk than it is goth.
There is absolutely an overlap between fetish, punk, and goth, so I understand that.
Like, I think that in general, if you're going to be really specific about, like, they're all subcultures and they all are all distinct, but I think that when you're adding drag elements to it, you just have to accept that, like, there is a little bit of a wash and you kind of have to gear towards as punk as possible, but if you're, or as goth as possible, but if you veer into punk or emo, it's not the worst thing.
I agree. But it's just, well, we'll get there.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get there. Because I think we might be on the same page about someone maybe not doing a particularly goth look and maybe winning the challenge.
Yes.
We'll talk about this.
But next up, we have Maya.
Maya Iman LePage.
Okay.
Now,
I like this look.
I love this.
I like this look a lot.
I love this dress. Here's the thing. I think this was the second worst look of the night. And I don't say that because it was bad. I say that because it was styled poorly.
I agree.
I think that the necklace, I think that the lack of neck, I think she should have given herself a Morticia, like, plunging neckline rather than, like, cutting her neck off so she's even shorter. I think that the hair should have been big rather than, for some reason, she finally pulled out a Cher wig. She didn't have one for the Cher runway, but, like, she pulls out a Cher wig and it's, like, and it, like, just everything in this dress cools her down.
Yeah.
And I don't love that. I do love the way this dress is. Yeah. I love the front versus back. I love when she turns around.
What do you call that fabric where it's translucent? Lace. Thank you.
I need more coffee.
Yes. Yeah.
I was like, I gave you a coffee.
I finished it already. The lace versus the latex I thought was beautiful. But
lace
I do
latex.
Oof. I do agree. I wish, because she wears a breastplate, I don't understand why she didn't, like, give herself a bit of a neckline.
I disagree.
Because I think that would have looked really nice.
I disagree.
I also just think that, like, this is a look that, like, could have used a little bit of corseting. Just, like, there's a little bit of just something here where it's, like, I don't dislike this look.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that, like, it's a little bulky. And because Maya's, like, on the shorter side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Maya and I are about the same height, I believe. So that puts her, like, 5'6", 5'5".
She's definitely shorter and she's definitely curvaceous. However, I will say this. I think that this is just purely aesthetics and also kind of with a little bit of, like, fashion goth knowledge. I liked the high neck because it's Victorian and that actually goes quite well with goth.
That is true.
So I agree with that choice. I agree with Joe that the hair should have been higher. It should have been like a beehive.
Oh,
and
like the Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah,
a wig like that would look amazing.
If she was going to have the high neck,
she needed to go out. Agreed.
Maybe have like almost a cape.
Yeah,
like something or like some shoulder accenting.
Well,
some,
I liked
large
the, I liked
feathers
the crows.
On the, but like
crows were cute. Crows.
I like
the,
but like I needed like outward shoulder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I needed
like a feather piece. Like oh god,
I need like a Eureka
Charlize
O'Hara
Theron in Snow White.
Yes, or like a Eureka O'Hara feathers out a little bit. Like I just needed something to like give her shape.
Yeah,
because the high neck just makes her, everything in this look pulls her down, and we needed things that pushed her out and pulled her up.
I do agree that she could have used a little cinching because it would have given her a more interesting hourglass figure.
Yeah, like I'm very rarely someone who's into cinching. This look just,
this, it needed cinching. But I will say that it's the sort of like, and I mean this in the best way possible, the sort of like trash bag in the front and then like
elegance.
Victorian lace in the back actually does fit the Victorian goth punk aesthetic.
She
really does.
So
and it
fucking good when she turned
really,
around.
Really, it really, really, this one actually, like, it's funny because I'm about to basically say, like, she should have gone home. But no. This outfit absolutely worked for me. I even loved the high neck. I completely disagreed when they were like, oh, you should show your neck because they basically called her fat on the runway, which I was like, fuck you.
It was definitely a little body
shaming. Again, for me, it's one of those things where it's less about weight and it's more about creating. She needed somewhere where there was skin, maybe a cutout in like the chest something to maybe
like a Power Girl
but
boob.
That's not really yes. Vic, but that's not really goth.
No, I just she needs something to she needed moments in the dress that didn't pull her down as much. Again, the hair is a beehive would have been great.
If she had, let me put it this way, she had given herself a beehive and like cinched the waist so it was like vavoom on top and then vavoom on bottom with the beehive, it would have been very
it would have been perfection.
Oh, I absolutely yeah, again, it would move this look into definitely save, maybe even high for me.
Yeah, yeah. It, like it's one of those things where it's they're all little details.
Yeah,
I just think she styled this a little bit poorly. Mm-hmm. And I think that if she'd styled it better, it would have worked for me. Mm-hmm. I understood the notes and yeah. did agree. I was like, oh, she turned around and was like, this is stunning. But like looking at it on the front, I was like, oh, I get it. It's a little too boxy.
Yeah, yeah. I also Andrews. Did love the crows and the skull. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, that's all. I love the crows and the skulls.
Up next, we have, and go now on. I'll drop the chandelier.
So I'm not crazy about this.
You're wrong.
Okay. Yeah, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
Shut up and let me say why you're wrong, maybe. Huh? 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 How you like that? How you like that?
You're wrong. This is the winner of the week.
It is definitely high, but here's my problem with it. The Fascinators, I wish, had more, not construction, perhaps if they were closer together, perhaps maybe they were just one thing, but as that goes, I'm looking at her head, I'm like, why do you just have random plumage? But here's my problem with this. I wish she included some silver detailing or even possibly white just to make it pop. A little bit of pop would have made it so when I'm looking at her dead on, it doesn't look so flat. And also, I wish the chandelier was a little bit higher to make it look like she has this like cartoonish waist.
No. So what she's doing is she's doing a drop waist. Like she's implicitly doing a drop waist with a chandelier. I understand what you're saying. You're still wrong. So I understand the headpiece. I liked the headpiece. I thought it was cool to have like the large plumage and the flat wig. I thought that was a fun vibe. I think that she does have some white accenting. It's called her flesh. She's pale.
I'm talking about the outfit.
But
she looks great.
But like you also, when she's walking out, when you see it in motion, there is, because of the drop waist, her legs are lighter than her like upper half. And there is a definition when you're seeing the drop waist where the first chandelier piece is.
Yeah, I will say this. This is the most goth look. There are two goth looks of this evening. This is one of them.
I'm not arguing that this isn't goth high fashion. It is absolutely
that. I also just thought this was... Here's the thing. On my first watch, Nymphia was my clear winner.
Mm-hmm.
On my second watch, this one took my breath away. I suddenly looked at it again and went, oh, this look is perfection. It is a variation on a theme, which is Dawn. But it's just, every piece of it is so cool. I don't think there's anything that we've had thus far that is as cool. There's nothing on this runway that is as physically cool as that chandelier skirt that does not look like it's being held up by anything because she's using black fabric and fishing line. So you literally cannot see from a distance how it works.
Right. What she effectively made was an exposed hoop skirt, which is really hard to do, and it's beautifully done. I have some issues with this. I love it. I'm not in love with it.
I will say this. To Pope's point, if she had done something a little cheesy with it, like if she had been able to put lights in it, or some kind of like candelabra detailing, I mean, it would have taken it into like goth Moschino era, which is not a bad thing. I love it.
Still the prompt.
But like, it's funny to me because the look, one thing that weirdly was brought in, which I feel like they said to Plasma as a dig, but I really don't think that it was fair, is that so much of this runway was Cher, because this reminds me so much of what Cher wore to the Oscars.
I see that, yeah.
And I will agree that maybe for it to be the clear winner, she needed to lose the elf ears for me personally. I mean,
I think you're
the elf ears are a choice. It's something you either like or you don't like. I'm not a big fan of the outfits.
I just think they're fine. It's one of those things where, like, she's only worn them like three times.
No, but fine. I just, for me, it's not for me.
Fair.
I would have lost the elf ears and added some kind of electrical component, like Christmas lights or something.
That would have been so much. I'm just saying, like, had she put a little silver on it.
I don't think it needed, but the thing is, I don't think this needs any more color. It doesn't need a black, I mean, it doesn't need a silver, it doesn't need a white. It needs a camp component to take it a little over the edge. I don't think it needs silver or white.
I just think that it, like, I think it was just so, again, I think this is so aggressively, this was so aggressively the look by the end. Mm-hmm. Looking at it, I'm just like, oh, every component of it is so correct.
Agreed.
And it's so cool, and it looks so cool in motion that it was kind of frustrating to be like, anyway, next up on the runway, we have Morphine Love Dion.
I really love this.
I liked it so much. I, like, understand that it probably isn't the best constructed garment in the world, but I like it a lot. And I think that it was aggressively a safe garment that she did really well, and she looked so beautiful.
Can I tell you what my notes say?
What?
Skinny Ursula.
Oh, I see that.
I mean, it's like if Ursula was trying to steal Morticia's man.
Yeah.
Ursula on Ozempic.
Ursa Zempic.
Oof. I really feel like...
That's actually... Ursula's the Ozempic dealer under the sea.
Ah, those poor unfortunate souls. So big, not thin.
So
this one wants to get the guy. This one wants to get the girl. Do I help them? With a syringe.
Oof. So I really like the fact that what Morphine did was basically just take a classic Morticia Elvira sort of look and added random fucking spikes.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It looks cool.
It looks great.
It needs more.
Sure, but it looks great. Like, it needs more to win. It doesn't need more to be... The fact that this was low is insane.
Yeah, that bugged me because I'm like...
Also, the makeup. This is
right there.
This is the best makeup on the runway this week. And just undeniably stamped.
So, I'm going to go a little bit off topic, but not really, because I want to talk about Morphine real quick. I did not like Morphine at the beginning of the season. I really pegged her as, like, an early out. I didn't see much. I didn't get it. I'll put it that way. Because I looked at her and I was like, okay, you're a pretty makeup girly. What else you got?
A BBL.
With a BBL. The past couple weeks have really made me go, oh, there is something special about Morphine. It doesn't just make you feel good. It helps.
She has a really beautiful light. Again, it's why I'm sad Mirage left, because Mirage also had a beautiful... This is a season of people where I'm just like, oh, I just like seeing you on
this
TV.
Is a great cast.
Yeah.
And I, Joe, I fully agree. This is such good fucking makeup. Like, goddamn. She's using that clown... She is weaponizing Clown White.
Yeah.
Trixie Mattel could never. And then speaking of things that Trixie Mattel would never...
Okay, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be very nice.
Don't be nice. Be
no,
mean.
I'm going to
look.
Be nice at first, okay? Joe has given me shit so many times about not doing compliment sandwiches. So here's a open-faced compliment sandwich, because I'm just doing one compliment.
What? That's, Pope, that's also not a compliment sandwich.
Whatever.
An open-faced compliment sandwich.
I'm going to say one nice thing to you, then I'm going to read you into the fucking dirt. This is why all our production meetings turn out like that.
Wait, shouldn't we...
No, fuck you, fucking fuck.
I will say this.
I'm going to let myself a terrible fuck.
I will say this. An open-faced compliment sandwich would be reading for filth. And then a, like, compliment at the end.
Anyway, no shoes.
Exactly.
Anyway. Okay. All right.
Pope is putting bread on the top and then just holding the meat in his hand.
Yeah.
And then just eating just, like, bread into meat.
Oh!
Like,
I'm sorry. I'm just, like, imagining, like, holding the deli meat with all the, like, sauces
with, like,
and everything.
Condiments
just, like,
and lettuce just in your hand and having a single piece of bread on top.
No.
So I will say, she made pants. And that is fucking hard. And honestly, if I ignore everything above the waist and I just look at these pants with no context, they're good fucking pants.
They're fine pants.
They're good pants. They are good pants. I like the texture. And then everything else happens and I want to go home.
I just am like, what is she? What is this bolero?
It's not even a bolero. It's like a scarf made out of rags that she's decided to just, like, sling over herself.
Here's what I will say. I bet of all of these looks, this is the one that we've all seen at least one girl come to high school wearing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, the thing that I find kind of funny about this is
I did improv with girls who basically still dress like this.
It's not even that. Like, what this look says to me is, because they were like, we don't know what you're saying to us. We don't know. And I'm like, oh, I know exactly what she's saying to us. What she's saying to us is, this is the actress who goes to the Lisa Frankenstein premiere, who's done, like, who's maybe, like, number three on the call sheet of a CW show, who doesn't have a stylist.
I think this is serving, let's go to the mall, specifically Hot Topic and Spencer's Gifts.
Today? No, well, but I'm just saying, like,
it's... in the 90s.
It's just, like, one of those things where it's, like, the look is very, like, I think this is what it is, but I'm not really sure what it is.
She made a bib that tucks into her pants.
It's
and then
so...
she put on two belts.
I like the belts. She needs belts, more belts. As somebody who's currently playing Final Fantasy VIII, she needs more belts.
Who is she? Tommy Wiseau?
More belts would have actually made this look
I actually
bit
think
better.
That if she grabbed, like, eight belts and just put them down one of the legs, she would have looked better.
Well, she would have looked like a wannabe Avril Lavigne,
and then she
is clearly the inspiration.
And then she should have taken this white belt and just put that over her tits.
I think that what bothers me about this look is that I'm like, I see where all the potential could go, but it just isn't there. Because, like, she had that wonderful houndstooth... that wonderful houndstooth print. And I mean, granted, I don't know how much she had of it, but I'm like, I wish she made a dress out of the houndstooth.
You know what this... You remember when that one guy came for Bob for wearing too much houndstooth on the pit stop?
Yeah.
I get it now. Maybe I hate houndstooth.
I disagree. Houndstooth is wonderful.
Oh, no, I don't hate houndstooth. I hate these shoes.
I'm like, I want to be clear. My problem with this look is that I'm still looking at it. Can we please move on? It's very ugly.
It's dark disco. It's like, it's someone who came to the new wave party wanting it to still be disco. Anyways, continue.
It feels like she was invited to a theme party and that she had to go into a thrift store and had 5 minutes to come up with an outfit.
Oh,
and
no, that's just her closet. That's the person who, like, did it with her closet.
No.
It's like they were at a Salvation Army, but not one of the good ones. So up next is Safira Crystal.
This is wedding. It's gothic wedding.
It's beautiful.
So, David would probably know this, but yes, a big thing in 80s goth fashion was buying old wedding dresses and spray painting them black.
Yes.
And that's what I got from this.
Yes.
She is beautiful.
Yeah.
This is such a good fucking look. She, oh God.
The children have forgotten.
That pattern. I know she, like, elbowed someone in the jaw and we didn't see that to get the whole 8 yards of it because she used all of it. It's so fucking good.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Stunning. It's beautiful. She's styled immaculately. She does not look like herself.
No.
She looks like she died 10 years ago, and this is her ghost.
This is her
it's
sexy ghost.
So fucking good.
I love it.
Yeah. It's very, very good.
Like, it's one of those ones where it's
and
like
the faces she was making.
Yeah. Like, again, she looks, it's very Tim Burton. It's very.
Yes.
But, like, in a good way. It's like, she looks like if we'd gotten, like, another Banjo-Kazooie game with, like, a hotter witch she might have been at.
Yeah.
She would talk like this. Rah, 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 rah. I feel great. Up next, we have
Nymphia Wind.
Nymphia Wind. So, this is goth.
Gasp.
Her face is, like, Asian Morticia Adams.
Oh, my God.
The fact that Michelle was, like, I couldn't see her face. It's like, well, you saw it and it was beautiful. So what's your problem, Gorge?
Hey, Michelle, fuck off. This is perfect.
The fact that you only saw her face by occasionally her glimpsing through, it was so sexy.
She is this beautiful, seductress witch. Mm-hmm. And I understand that she spent that first day just making the headpiece. And that's where all this look came from. And hey, David, now you understand her thought process.
Yeah.
This... just everything about it, the way she used the lace and the fabric and the draping of it all, like,
she's the Spider Woman.
Yeah, it's also one of those
Madame Web.
Well, I meant more kiss of, but that's okay.
More Kissa Adams.
Oh.
But no, it's one of those things where it's just like, it's so good.
I don't think any of us have anything negative to say about this.
But it's very upsetting that it didn't, that if the people that I thought should have won were this or Dawn.
Agreed.
Maybe Saphira.
Agreed.
Like, it's one of those things where, like, these were all so good, and the fact that this didn't get a win, and they were like, we couldn't see your face. It's not like when Silky only put on a lip and then put on
a roach head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that look, which I think is a point where it's like, make sure to paint your face. She painted her face, and she looked stunning. And I saw
stamped.
I got to see it on the runway. I don't know why Michelle didn't. Maybe she was looking away at that point.
So I will say another thing, and this is to go back a little bit on Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that there's the little cutouts, little peekaboos that allow you to see a bit more of Nymphia's, like, body. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's wearing a bodysuit or that's just her body, in which case, fuck you, eat a sandwich, you monster. I'm so jealous. That is what I would kind of let. That's what I was hoping for from Dawn.
There is a little bit of that on Dawn.
That's just her arms.
Okay? No. Like
you can see leg.
You can see leg. You can see.
Let me watch this episode again, and I will print a retraction next week. How about that?
Apparently, we can get the retraction right now.
What do you call that?
What do you call that?
That bright spot of leg.
That is so zoomed in. That is so.
What do you call
in?
The bright spot of leg that I have fully caught on my camera? Yeah. You can see
that is Sasquatch photo.
You can see the
Joe.
The
you found
in line.
That's like a Nessie photo where it's
press the image, make it move.
I don't know how what
just press
this,
it.
This might have been a clue, but like if you look, you can fully see.
Okay,
you
but
can fully see leg in between it.
Not enough for me. Moving on.
I'm just like, I love that Pope's like, this thing that I liked in this other look, I would have loved in the other. Is this the second time we have you have fully been like, I wish it had this, and we had to be like, it does. Wait.
I don't feel like that counts, but moving on.
Finally, we have, I hate this look.
I
love that Uncle Fester is finally like living it up, but.
Okay, here's my problem with this look. It's not goth.
It's the puppet from Five Nights at Freddy's.
It's not even that. It's punk.
I see that.
It's actually Club Kid. It's New Romantic. It is not goth. It is maybe a hair goth, but it is not goth.
Hair goth is my favorite character in The Sims 2, hair, the German edition.
I was going to say in Cabaret.
Hair goth is something I'm not allowed to do anymore. Yeah. So here's the thing. I killed Joe. Hot dog. Here's the thing about this look. I feel like construction 10. This is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
This is a stunning, like, gown jacket moment. I think it's so cool. I like the concept. This is not something I would look at and go, oh, you're going for a goth look. I'd look at this and go, oh, you're going for, like, a Halloween Club Kid or a I'm sorry. Every time I look at this picture,
stop saying Club Kid because I just looked at it again and I saw the black netting and the white face, and now all I can see is Alexis Michelle's Club Kid look from season 9.
Oh no! Oh no! I see it now. Help!
Call my lawyer. Hold on.
Call my lawyer.
So okay, here is my problem with this.
That you've seen the show, Tamar?
I've seen the show, Tamar. But more importantly, my problem looking at this now, apart from the fact that Joe just ruined it, and possibly ruined the whole show for me, I hate these shoes. These pleather, like, thigh highs that every girl owns. I hate these. Like, I hated them on plane. I hate them here. Yep. Joe, David found them. Same look. This is much better.
But
it's the redemption.
But I like the coat. I think the lining, for fuck's sake.
Come on.
I don't know. It's one of those things where.
Oh no. David found a weird.
Just post that day of.
I'm not gonna describe
it. Wait, is that Silky?
Yeah, that's Silky.
Yeah,
that's Silky on the episode that she was gonna repaint. That she was doing for the episode where they were doing the Zodiac face, and she's doing it, and she looks at Akira, and she's like, "I'm just gonna do a beauty mug." All right,
I'm gonna save this to photos, and I'll post it.
and then post it with this, and be like, "Rewore at best." But anyway, I think two are best. But I just, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know. It's It looks like she's wearing a circus tent. It looks like she's wearing a circus tent on a sad gothic circus. It's not my favorite look. And I don't have anything else to say about it other than, like, it doesn't feel like it hits the brief. I'm happy that Q has a second win. I like that we're getting a little bit of, like, cuntier Q. I think it's cute. But, like, I think this should have been Dawn's first win.
Agreed.
Because while Nymphia did incredibly, I do not think this was as good as Nymphia's first look. This look, I don't think this is my least favorite thing Q has made in a design challenge, and I have not liked any of her looks in design challenges yet. But, like, I don't like this one, and I loved Dawn's.
Yeah.
And, like, Nymphia's was not as good as her first look.
It's just hard for me to really hate on this look so much because it's so beautifully crafted and so well done. It reminds me a lot of Layla McQueen when she made that sports coat and was put in the bottom because life is insane.
What?
Layla McQueen, season 8, episode 1, she makes...
A dress.
No.
Was it a coat?
She made a sports coat, and then they read her to filth for not doing enough.
Oh, sorry.
And I wanted to reach through my TV and slap someone.
Sorry, I remembered her ugly dress from episode 2.
Yeah. We're not talking about that.
No, we are not.
I think this is beautifully constructed. I think this is a wonderful look. And if the prompt was black and white... Oh, absolute. Yeah. 10 out of 10. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah.
As of right now, we feel like it should have been red all over.
Should have been red for filth. No. It's
black and white, red all over.
And never mind. Anyways.
A zebra with a sunburn.
A penguin on a massacre.
I was going to say a zebra with a diaper rash. Anyways. Yeah, I don't know. My issue with it is that, as I said, it's not very goth. It's a lot more punk and new romantic.
Mm-hmm.
And Club Kid for that matter, with the white face with the hair. It wasn't the prompt enough for, like, it's a beautiful garment. It just wasn't enough the prompt for me.
But we get into judging, and
everyone's gonna be critiqued this episode.
They ask Plain if she'd like to use her immunity potion, and she's like, I have one more week left. So she doesn't use it. Like Plain, they don't love Plain. Maya gets a lot of critique, not just what we talked about, but for getting help in the workroom, which has never happened before. Bibi literally famously won a challenge for having her entire dress sewn for her. Anyway, moving on.
Dawn and Plasma have been on Twitter, I'm not calling it the other thing, talking about, like, there's no rules about getting help. It's totally okay.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Like, why are you all being weird?
I think it's because...
This is not
Project Runway. No, it's not even that. I think I wrote it in my notes, and this to me just makes it kind of like, I think it kind of just like makes the point that I think everyone is feeling. It's how, like, teehee, they were about it.
I get that.
And I think that that's what was pissing people off. Like, she was dinged for not making the dress, and they definitely were like, okay, so you don't sew. How did you make this? And
she's like, Safira helped me, and then I sewed everything.
Exactly. And everyone was kind of looking at her like, no, Safira did a lot more than just... It's
Safira patterned it, and then Maya sewed it and styled it.
The truth of the matter is we only see what we see. It sounds like, according to the queens, Safira did a lot more than just that. According to Safira, she did... According to Safira and Maya, Maya did most of the work.
Yes.
So... Who knows?
I feel like...
Well, also, according to the queens in this episode, but not according to the queens on, like, the internet. Like, yeah. When the queens are talking about it now, they're not being like, yes, Maya did no work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in the episode when they're edited, they're edited to say that Maya did no work.
Right.
And then Safira and Maya are saying, no, Maya did all the sewing. Safira just patterned for her.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that... Safira even says, like, I look at what Maya wants to do, and I'm thinking this will take 2 hours. And thinking about it, first of all, pleather is a nightmare to work with. I will never do it again myself. But what she made was effectively a tube dress with a mermaid tail, which I'm not going to say is easy, but it is doable, especially for someone like Safira, who clearly, you know, knows what she's doing with a sewing machine.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't believe Safira did too much work, but I do believe Safira did the work that would get a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, you know, okay, here's how your pattern's going to work. Here's how you we're going to shrink it for you, yada, yada, yada.
I think it's just more of the, like, the optics of it all, of just kind of, like, she, like, I, as I said, I love this look, and I think it looks great, and I think it looks great because Saphira helped her. Then you have Plasma, who looks like shit because no one helped her. But again, Plasma did not ask for help.
Yeah, Plasma didn't ask for help. And also, I just think it's, like, weirdly important to note, the look, the part you like about the look was not made by Saphira. Mm-hmm. The part you like about the look was all Maya.
Yeah.
Because she's the one who said, I want this fabric in the front. Like, Maya fully
conceptualized.
Maya essentially did what drag queens do when they buy a look. Mm-hmm. She fully conceptualized it. She got the pieces delivered to her house and she sewed it together.
Yeah.
And, like, is that the best thing? No. I wish she'd brought patterns and knew how to do this herself. But also, I don't know. Like, not it's one of those things where this. It's like, it's the first time we've ever gotten noted for it. Maybe in the future they'll be stricter about queens helping. But as of right now,
it's not.
Yeah. I think it was.
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing, and I think it was bullshit critique to give it to make that the reason instead of just noting it. Like, you can note this into the bottom. It's fine. Everyone did well this week.
Yeah.
You didn't need to also, like, throw under the bus that she got help.
They try to really. Now that we're talking about it, I do feel like they were trying to shame her.
Oh, they were trying.
They were really trying to shame her. And it's funny.
I think they wanted Plasma to beat her in the lip sync, yeah. And so they needed to break her down a little bit. Mm. The problem is,
they did the opposite.
The problem is that Maya is one of these
has no bones.
Well, she's one of the best performers to be on Drag Race in a minute.
Yeah,
she reminds me a lot of what Canada talked about with Near Enough, where it's like her musicality is so good,
mm-hmm.
And like it's just like this was a terrible lip sync song, and she turned it out.
It reminds me of season 5, Whip My Hair Back and Forth, which I think is one of the worst songs to ever choose for a lip sync, and then they turned into one of the best lip syncs of the season. That's how I feel about this lip sync.
But we'll get into the lip sync when we go through all the girls.
Well, one thing that I do want to say that I do think is important, which kind of in some ways throws my it throws my own stuff into the garbage can, is there are designers who do not know how to draw and who do not know how to sew. And basically they kind of like Frank Gehry a look and then someone else puts it together.
Speaking of designers, did we appreciate that Kaya was just like casually gathering Michelle the entire time? She was like, actually, I've walked runways where they haven't seen my face and the clothes just look great. So yes. I think this is a very fashion. Like, she's just like, I think this. Like, Kaya is the least afraid of Michelle we've had in a guest judge in a minute.
I kind of loved it because I was very upset it wasn't Elvira or someone who's like kind of famous for being spooky.
I'm guessing that my genuine guess is that since it was during the writer's strike, Jenna Ortega was just not available because she was in the writer's room writing all of season 2 of Wednesday.
Fair. But just
In secret. And she had COVID during that time as well.
Exactly.
So and they had her in a hamster bubble.
She was in a hamster bubble. She was doing choreography. Exactly. I was about to say that. She was practicing violin and she was writing season 2.
No, she wasn't practicing violin. She was practicing cello.
No, she does violin next season.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I haven't seen this
season
show.
3 is Keytar.
Oh, no.
No. It's actually going to be theremin.
Oh, God. Okay, one.
I love Uma Thurman.
That's a drag name. Uma Thurman. That's a fucking drag name.
So did anything happen in Untucked? I didn't watch it.
No.
Plasma gets a little bit like angry with Dawn, but not in a like entertaining way. Just more like I'm having a lot of emotions right now when you're right here. I don't take this personally kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like it sucks to be Plasma. Because she walked in expendable, she proved she wasn't.
Yeah.
And then another design challenge happened. And she can look around and be like,
well, I'm fucked.
I can see the writing on the wall here. And I also know this isn't like this. Like, had they had a spoken word lip sync or like something a little campier or a little like if the lip sync song was like the Monster Mash,
mm-hmm.
or Thriller, like there's something that like maybe there would have been a camp take that Plasma could have had.
Mm-hmm.
This is a dance remix of a song.
Yeah.
There is no camp take Plasma can pull out here.
But not really. I do feel like Plasma did pull it out. She didn't not do anything.
Oh, no. She put up a fight.
She's... So, it feels... This, to me, feels a lot like the Shaka Khan... Widow Von Du versus Jan lip sync.
Oh, I remember where that. Yeah.
Jan is throwing everything at the wall. She is desperate. She is trying. She can do a cartwheel, goddammit. And Widow is performing. And she's in the pocket. Like, Maya's so in the pocket, and Plasma is so desperate to stay. And I think that she cracked a little bit under pressure in the lip sync. So she performs well. She dances. She's a great mover. She can... She has a good dip. Like, she does a little bit of no-gang. Like, she's, like, trying.
It's really hard to compete against someone with hollow bones, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, she's up against Maya, and Maya's a bona fide lip-sync assassin.
I mean, it's not even...
Like, oh, also, Q wins this challenge, and is like, I should have won all three design challenges.
You shouldn't have won any of the design challenges.
And also, Plain is really annoyed that they have the guest judge go backstage. That happens.
Wait, why?
I forgot about that.
Oh, because she's the odd. Is this her first time being the voice of the audience?
Actually, I think it was the first time I've ever agreed with Plain. Plain on Twitter said, look, if you caught it, yes, I'm a little tired of the judge. I got really tired of the judges coming back there because I feel like we were having good conversations and we'd have to stop so these people who aren't really relevant to us can have a little chat. I got really annoyed with it. Sue me. Not her words, and I think I threw in some Nina Bonina Brown there. But if you watch Untucked, you do see Plain when they announce that what's her name?
Kaya Gerber.
Kaya Gerber is coming in. Plain just like flumps and goes, okay, and then puts on a face.
There's fully a level where it's like, they don't know these people.
I mean, it's one of those things where part of me is like, it's very rare that unless it's like an icon that they're like, oh my god,
yeah, like a Becky G.
Yeah, exactly.
I still don't know who that is.
A Rebecca G.
We are 10 weeks into this show. I don't know who that is.
She was the yellow Power Ranger.
Yeah.
She was the pink Power Ranger, but she was the yellow Power Ranger.
She was the yellow Power Ranger. Plebs. Pleb tier casuals.
Listen.
Get good at recognizing Power Rangers.
If they weren't Power Rangers in the 90s, they mean nothing to me.
You're either born a Power Ranger, or you either die a Power Ranger, or you live long enough to see yourself become a Power Bottom. Anyway.
Or a Beetleborg. So.
Same thing.
Maya versus Plasma. Yeah. Plasma puts up such a fight.
Is Bloody Mary, the TikTok Wednesday remix. TikTok remix by Lady Gaga.
Isn't that also the lunch that they have at the end of every season?
Damn. That was a reach, my friend. I love you.
I try.
Yeah.
I try.
Ah.
The Wednesday Tic Tac lunch.
Maya did a flutter jump, so, which I've never seen a human being do outside of a Super Mario game.
What's a flutter jump?
When?
She jumped into the air and then, like, kicked her legs a bunch of times before landing.
When?
After the flowers... possibly before the 19 backhand springs. I don't know.
So
my brain just like,
well, in fairness,
it was the end of 2001.
All I'm saying is that she's not very tall.
No.
She's a little, let's say, to quote the author of Ready Player One, Rubenesque.
you motherfucker.
I'm just saying she might be Mario.
It's a Mario.
You motherfucker! So long, Gay Bowsy.
There's something I want to say, but I can't.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Maya clearly didn't fasten her wig on well enough, so she immediately has to get rid of it. So she wig reveals with
into
some
flowers.
With some black rose petals,
which really bothered me.
Here's the thing. I
loved it.
I was okay with it because what else is she gonna like? I'm glad because she didn't have a wig under it, so she wig reels into a beanie for some reason. She wig reels into a beanie because she has to dance and she has to get ready and she has to flip in this.
She has to dance with her hands over her head.
Like Jesus said. So she like, and so I'm glad there was at least something under the wig reveal to make it worth it. Because otherwise it would have just been taking off her wig the way she took off her shoes. Again, Maya has officially broken the two cardinal rules of lip syncing that have been in place in season four and won both of those lip syncs.
And I'm going to say it. Yeah, she won.
This, the duck walk into a spin, into a dip. Like, I know that David is still hung up on the three back handsprings.
Yeah.
I'm not over that. I'm not over just how clean that dip was. She was spinning and then she was on the floor.
I just kind of wish that she did the, like, back handsprings and then came back but did the exorcist walk.
Oh, my God, cool. Yes.
See, if she did that, I would have been like, all is forgiven, you've won.
Even without that, this...
Like, yeah. You
know, she really performs the house down. I think that where I'm coming from when I say I feel like the wrong person won the challenge and the wrong person went home is just the fact that, like... She did so many tricks and spins and everything that you kind of weren't necessarily looking at her mouth, that it didn't matter whether or not she was lip syncing.
In fairness, there are very few words in this remix.
No, fair. But it's also just one of those things where it's like, it just didn't feel like a lip sync. It felt like a showcase of tricks. And someone else did a showcase of tricks, and granted, she did not know the words, so she went home correctly.
I was still on Mirage.
Yes. I was about to say, if you hadn't brought up Mirage, I was going to say, David, you famously think that somebody who only did tricks and didn't show off their mouth lip syncing should have stayed.
She didn't even, like, watermelon boogaloo shoe it.
She did watermelon, never mind. Anyways, let me finish.
She just wanted to dance with her hands over her head.
Like Jesus said.
I'm just saying it was an amazing showcase, and it was phenomenal. However, it's one of those things where, to me, it's one, like, she just did too much that was either, like, I guess for me, the sort of, let me walk you through my process as to why I'm like, this is why I still would have sent her home.
Duck walk us through the process.
I will duck walk you through the process.
Quack.
She was in the bottom on a look that was dinged for not being enough made by her, which, again, we have said is perfectly fine by Drag Race current rules. So that's not something for girl bye, but it is something that that was talked about. Two, she started with a move that was very much another queen's move, which I understand now has been appropriated by many a people. There's this guy on TikTok or Instagram who does stuff where, like, essentially does the Sasha Velour with the, you know, the rose petals. It's done on Broadway in Spamalot. So I get it.
Throb Zombie on Dragula did it for their finale.
So I get that it's, like, a thing. However, it's very much to me like taking another queen's move and putting it in a lip sync to save your life. Three, it was just a lot of tricks and not a lot of showing of lip sync. Four, she's not going to win the season anyways. But it's, for me, it's just one of those things where I was just kind of like, as I said, at the end of the day, the show is called RuPaul's Drag Race. RuPaul is the judge, jury, and executioner.
Yeah.
So RuPaul can make up the rules every week if she wants to. There are other queens who have done showings that were just all tricks and were sent home. There are queens who have broken the cardinal rules of lip sync and have gone home. Clearly, there is something about Maya that I am not seeing that RuPaul sees. And that's the long and the short of it. That's all I'm saying.
I think that the thing you're missing about things like the tricks. So one, the thing I'll say about the Sasha Velour reveal is it has nothing to do with her win. It was a way to get the wig off. Mm-hmm. But that... that has not factored into our conversation at all, mm-hmm. when talking about our favorite parts of this lip sync, mm-hmm. because there are so many. Mm-hmm. I also think it's just important to note that, like, there are absolutely lip syncs where people stunt the house down boots, yes, God, and go home versus other people who are stunting less hard. But this is a song that is only available to stunt on. This is not a good lip sync song. This was a terrible choice. Whoever made this decision should be fired. This was awful on kind of every level and feels like that. I saw someone Maddie Morphosis posted the "Hey Fellow Kids" meme being like the producers of Drag Race picking a TikTok dance from a year ago. as a lip sync song. Like, it just feels so dated on so many levels. But, like, yeah, you can't see her mouth the entire time, but anytime you do see it, she's lip syncing the 8 words in the song, because it's not a very... It's a 6-word chorus, Valentina. Mm-hmm. You couldn't remember 6 words. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, this is a song where there's no emotion to the song. There's not a camp element. There's nothing here other than a dance beat to trick to.
And a lot of energy.
So Maya brought every trick she had. Plasma also brought all the tricks she had. Plasma just has fewer tricks, and they're less interesting to watch. She tries to add a few camp elements. They just don't work.
Yeah.
She tries to, like, lip quiver. Like, it's also really, I think it was really clear watching this, I doubt Plasma lip syncs that often.
Yeah.
My guess is Plasma is a live singing girly, mm-hmm. because, like, she has good control of her mouth, but she doesn't have a lot of, like, things that make a lip sync super compelling.
So, remember before when I said there's something I want to talk about at the end?
Okay.
Here's where it is. We had Tsunami versus Morphine, and
which was a really sweet lip sync.
It was a very sweet lip sync, but it was kind of the, like, it was the best friend lip sync.
It was Jujubee and Raven. Yeah.
Yes. So why did we not get Alyssa Edwards and Coco, and it was Plain versus Plasma?
I agree.
That's what it should have been.
Like, it's one of those things where I think, well, I know why.
Why?
It's the same reason that we... Do you know why we get a lip sync in the first episode nowadays between people who are doing well?
Why?
It's so they can test your lip syncing ability.
Yep.
So the reason why we didn't get Plain versus Plasma is that in the first 2 episodes, we saw 4 queens lip sync. We saw Safira, we saw Q, we saw Geneva, and we saw Plain. And I'm going to guess that unless Safira bombs, we're not going to really see Safira lip sync again.
No.
Because what they learned from those episodes is that those queens are not the type of queen that can guaranteed win a lip sync. It's the same reason Sherry Pie never lip syncs on season 12. In the first episode, they're figuring out if you can win the lip sync. And if you can't win the lip sync, they're going to protect you if they want you to stay. Mm-hmm. That's why Rosé never lip syncs. That's why... Gigi never lip syncs.
It's why Simone does lip sync.
It's why they're okay with Simone lip syncing. Mm-hmm. It's why they're okay with Jada lip syncing, because they know these queens can do it.
God, Jada's good.
Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, had, like, weirdly, had Maya been in the top the first week, or Mirage, they probably would have been lip syncing, like, they would have been pushing them into lip syncing, because mm-hmm. they would have been like, we want these moments.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not going to put Plain against Plasma, because Plasma can dance better than Plain.
Yeah,
what if
yeah.
Plasma murders Plain in a lip sync and they have to send home Plain Jane, who they're clearly banking on?
They're putting
a lot of faith into a girl, while also, like, they want her to stick around because they think she makes good TV, and she maybe does.
This is
a good season, so I have to say all of the queens here make good TV.
They do.
But, like, That's why we didn't get a lip sync between Plain and Plasma. It's why we didn't get a lip sync between Plain and Amanda, because they know that Plain...
Amanda would wipe the floor with her.
I mean, Amanda wiped the floor with Q and still went home. But, like, they know that these queens... They know that Plain is not Alyssa Edwards or Coco Montrese. There's also a weird level of, by the time we got Alyssa and Coco, they were both at 3 lip syncs.
Yeah.
They were both out of the running as far as the show was concerned. So why not put them up against each other? Speaking of 3 lip syncs, I think this is only the second time in Drag Race history. Sorry. Their story. Fuck you, Drag Race. I'm now taking it. No. Drag Race history that a queen has won their 3rd lip sync against someone else who hasn't lip synced yet. Because usually you win the 3rd lip sync against somebody who is also on their 3rd or 2nd lip sync. So it's like, oh, okay. This is... The only other time I can think of is Cameron versus Cracker, where it's Cameron 3rd lip sync, Cracker 1st lip sync. And other than that, it's usually like, you win the 3rd lip sync because, like, someone's going to win their 3rd lip sync this time.
Yeah. I will say this. One thing that was literally sent to me right before we were recording is the parallels between Plasma and Max.
Oh, yeah, Max Malamphy from season 7. I definitely see that.
Which is that they were both kind of old Hollywood. They both have 2 wins. They both won the acting challenge. Both eliminated at 7th. However, I think production did not like Max.
No, production famously didn't like Max. And Plasma's already doing a really good job making sure you're going to remember her.
Oh, yeah.
Plasma, you're going to be a fan.
Plasma's going to do a great job on All-Stars. She's going to tour well. She's probably going to try to, like, she'll probably try to, she's probably going to start, like, now that Jinx has started doing Broadway, she's probably going to try to push her way onto the Broadway circuit a little bit.
I mean,
and she's a great singer. So
that's
like,
right. Jinx is on Broadway now. What part?
No, she's off Broadway. She's doing Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors.
The plant or the woman?
The woman.
Oh, good for her.
She's doing Audrey. And then also, as I've said before, Marsha is in Cabaret
as the understudy for the MC.
And then she's the understudy for the MC, but she's also in the ensemble.
She's the twink that Cliff fucks.
Yes.
And if you want to hear more about some twinks that Cliff is fucking, you can tune in next week.
We're
going to be covering season 10, which I think is a verse challenge. I don't remember.
Season 10? We're going back to season 10.
Yeah, huh? We're going back to season 10. We're going to watch the Farmer Rusical next week.
I think next week they're writing verses.
Yeah. So next week is another singing challenge. So you're welcome, Safira, for the second win. You can hear us talk about that next week here, wherever you listen to your podcast. You can follow the show on Instagram at This Toxic Fandom. Stephen Pope is at Pro Hobbit Pope. David Gorin is at David J. Gorin. And I'm at Joe Lee Green Giant.
And if you like us, tell a friend. If you really like us, tell your friend with benefits. And if you think we're just okay, you know what? Give us a listen, because I am sad.
And if you think Plasma was robbed, instead of sending hate to a queen, write those feelings in a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. And until next time.
Stay toxic.